Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed.
Today, we're covering something that's near and dear to my heart, gaming. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the Game Awards.
Oh, Game Awards. How's Queen by Midnight doing?
Zogar, we talked about this. Okay, it's the Video Game Awards, but they shortened it to the Game Awards. Okay, it's video games. We talked about this.
But if it's Game Awards, it should be covering board games and tabletop role-playing games. Sorry. But if it's Game Awards, it should be covering tabletop games and role-playing games and card games, not just video games.
See what I have to put up with?
See what I have to put up with?
Kaiju, do you see what you have to put up with? Anyway, I'm Grim.
I think I'm Zolgar.
Kaiju is napping behind me.
And I lost where I was. Just a quick warning, this is an uncensored podcast, so you may hear adult language or other content not suited for children, the workplace, church, or, frankly, human consumption.
This week, our topic is actually the Game Awards. This is an idea that actually Zolgar came up with because we were discussing it and we realized we had a few things to say about this. So why not share it with you guys? That said, if you have an idea for a topic for us, you can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote on the topic poll on Discord.
Now, I want to do a quick note here. You may notice that we were on hiatus for about 2 months. We both got COVID at the same time. So that's what happens when you live in the same house. And, well, I've already had to edit a couple of coughs out of this episode. So it took about a month and a half for us to both hit the point where we could carry on a conversation without violent, painful coughing fits.
Fun fact, kids, you can social distance and isolate and quarantine yourself all you want, but if you share a toilet, you're all getting it.
Yeah, you live in the same house with somebody, it's almost impossible to avoid catching it if they catch it.
We are still not back at 100%. We're going to take this slow. We will keep you informed on if there's going to be a delay in uploads, if we're going to make any changes to the schedule. We're kind of taking this an episode at a time right now, honestly, but it's been long enough and it's time for us to come back.
Yeah, it's definitely time for us to come back, because if we don't come back soon or didn't come back soon, we weren't coming back at all.
Yeah.
You know, ADHD brains will forget about it eventually.
Who are you?
I don't know. What are we doing again?
Well, in any event, stand back.
Because the idiots have finally been let back off their leash. Okay, so the Game Awards.
So our main thing here is we're going to go through some of the game categories and just kind of give thoughts on just whatever our thoughts are. This is Unleashed. Getting stream of consciousness, baby.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk too much on the esports categories because neither of us are really dialed into esports. You know,
nothing wrong with esports, but really neither of us have much interest in watching people play video games. I mostly prefer to be the one playing them. There are a couple of streamers I do watch play games, but that's less a competitive thing and more I'm hanging out with a bunch of my friends talking while one of them is showing us a video game type of vibe. That's what I typically go for with my streamers. So like the hardcore competitive esports, nah, that's not my scene. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that scene. It's just not for me.
Yeah. And I'm also not going to have a lot of commentary on the new game, the games specifically, because these are all new games. You know, almost every single game on this released this year, if not every game.
Yeah. Hence why it's the annual.
I don't actually play a lot of brand new big name titles.
Yeah. So this isn't going to be like an in-depth review of each and every game in every category, but we are going to kind of give commentary on what we think about each category. I've got some comments on some other cold, frigid takes I've seen making the rounds. And
also, if we tried to give actual reviews of every single game, even if it was just a short review of every single game, we'd be here for 6 hours.
Pretty much. Now, there is some overlap between some of these categories. So, you know, it wouldn't be every category is a bunch of new games, but still, it's too much. We can't do that.
Yeah. Now, of course, this is specifically the Game Awards. Voting is still going to be live for a little while longer. So
Head over to thegameawards.com if you want to feel like your voice is heard.
And I will put a link to those in the show notes, assuming I remember. Hey, if I don't, yell at me. I'll fix it. Anyways, all that nonsense out of the way.
Let's get started with the first category, Game of the Year.
So let's see. Our contestants for Game of the Year are not a single original title, interestingly enough. We have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, this is a rare moment where every single nominee is a sequel, but these are some heavy-hitting franchises.
One is both a sequel and a remake, interestingly enough.
Yep.
But yeah, those are some heavy-hitting franchises. I have not played a single game on this list.
I have played three of them. Two are on my radar. I kind of fell off the Mario wagon a long time ago. Nothing against the series. It's just not what I'm looking for most of the time. That said, I've heard good things about Wonder. This is actually a solid lineup. There are many, many giants here. However, there are two titans.
I am pretty sure it's going to Baldur's Gate 3 myself.
Yeah, it's probably going to Baldur's Gate 3. The only other real contender I'm seeing is Tears of the Kingdom. Again, nothing against these other games. They are giants. I've heard really good things about Alan Wake 2, and I'm a fan of the franchise. The Resident Evil 4 remake is solid. I've heard good things about Spider-Man 2. I don't have a PlayStation. I have not played it. I've heard really good things about Mario Wonder, and it's, you know, it's Mario. Baldur's Gate 3, however, is the 800-pound gorilla, and the only one that can hold a candle to it, in my opinion, is Tears of the Kingdom. Both of these are massive, highly polished games with solid storytelling and characters. If it does not go to one of those two, I will be very surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset. I'd just be very surprised.
Like, honestly, I have almost broken my rule of not paying launch prices for a AAA title to get Baldur's Gate 3, but I know I won't get around to playing it.
Yeah. How big is your backlog?
Yes.
Exactly.
So, next category.
Best Game Direction.
Oh, look, so this lineup's really easy. It's the same lineup minus Resident Evil.
Pretty much. And once again, two titans and three giants. If this isn't Baldur's Gate 3 or Tears of the Kingdom, again, I will be very surprised. Now, again, not upset, just surprised.
All right. So moving on. We have Best Narrative.
And there are three titles here we're already familiar with off of the previous two lists.
So our list this time around is Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, Final Fantasy 16, and Marvel's Spider-Man 2 again.
Yeah. As far as narratives go, I've heard good things about all of these. I am not a fan of Final Fantasy 16 and the direction they're taking it. But that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It just means it's not what I want from Final Fantasy.
You and Final Fantasy are kind of going through a bit of a breakup right now.
Our Facebook status is it's complicated. I have played Phantom Liberty, and in true cyberpunk tradition, there are no happy endings. It's really well done. And I bear in mind, when I'm saying really well done, I am speaking purely to the category, which is best narrative. So these are some contenders for sure. That said, I'm pretty sure it's going to go to Baldur's Gate 3. I am pretty sure Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be sweeping the awards this year.
Watch, it's not going to win anything.
That would be the greatest upset.
But it would also be kind of hilarious.
It would be kind of funny, but honestly, Larian deserves some recognition, so they should get something.
From everything that I know of Baldur's Gate 3, they definitely deserve the recognition, because I have not heard... Okay, that's not true. I have heard very few bad things about Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, you can fuck a bear, so...
I knew it was coming. Just like the bear.
Hey!
We are a classy podcast.
All right. So let's see. Next up, unless you have anything more on that category.
Nope. So next we've got Best Art Direction. Again, some familiar faces. Mario Wonder, Tears of the Kingdom, Alan Wake 2. But we have, ding, ding, ding,
two new challengers appear.
We've got Hi-Fi Rush and Lies of P.
They sent my boy out to die. I love Lies of P. My love for Souls-likes is no secret. It is a solid game, amazing art and graphical design, great story, solid gameplay. It is going to get absolutely crushed under the boot heel of most of the other games in this category, unfortunately.
Also, just an interesting point. This is actually the first category that we have any titles in it that are actually fully original titles.
Yep.
Because Best Narrative did have Cyberpunk, but it was an expansion for Cyberpunk.
Yes, and also Cyberpunk is building off of an existing franchise, even if it's not a video game franchise.
Yes.
Hi-Fi Rush is really cool. I do want to talk about it a little bit. I have not played it. It is on my to-do list at some point. It is
kind of like the bear.
Hey. It is a action platformer rhythm game. Yes, you heard me right. It is a really cool action adventure game with some great platforming sequences, and everything is set to the beat. It's got an interesting story, an amazing and colorful cast of characters. It's great. I've watched a couple of people play it now, which is what made me really want to play it myself. Again, it's on my to-do list. And the fact that it made it here, like Tango Gameworks put some work in on this and stealth dropped it. There was no marketing campaign. They just went, here, have a game, and walked away.
Yeah, I had never heard of it until we were talking about this list.
And it's fantastic. So the fact that it's here, I just want to talk about it a little bit and let people know it earned its spot, honestly, in my opinion. Is it going to win? Probably not. It's going up against a Mario title and a Zelda title. And yeah.
Let's be real here for a second. The Mario title and the Zelda title could have stick figure pixel art, and people would still be voting for them for Best Art Direction because they're fans of Mario and Zelda.
Yeah. Now, full disclosure, I voted for Tears of the Kingdom. That's right. I didn't even vote for my boy because they sent my boy out to die. I've played through the entirety of Tears of the Kingdom, and the art and visuals are... it took everything they did in Breath of the Wild and built on it. So I think it earns it. It deserves some recognition for that. Will it win this category? I honestly don't know, because Alan Wake 2, everything I've seen, has some pretty cool, darker visuals. who knows? Maybe we'll get a surprise upset and Liza P will actually win. But I'm not holding my breath on that, even though I love that game so much. It's we got a couple of a real big titles in this category that I think might take it. But I guess we'll see.
All right. And so this next one is Best Score and Music. We once again have a whole cast of familiar faces.
We have Alan Wake 2 with composer Petri Alanko. Baldur's Gate 3 with composer Borislav Slavov. If I am mispronouncing your names, I apologize. I'm American. We're stupid. Final Fantasy 16 with my boy composer Masayoshi Soken. I have not listened to anything from 16. Like I said, I don't like the game. I don't want anything to do with it. But this man knows how to make music. He scored Final Fantasy 14, and talk about art for a video game score. So if he put even half the work into this score that he did for 14, that's a solid soundtrack. Hi-Fi Rush, it's all audio. Like, everything is set to the beat of the music. So audio director Shuichi Kobori put in some serious work on that. And then we also have The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, composed by the Nintendo sound team, which is multiple solid, talented people. Like I said, I played through Tears of the Kingdom. I've heard most of that soundtrack. Beautiful. So this is one I honestly cannot call.
Especially because this is honestly probably, of all of these, the most wildly subjective category.
It really is. Now, my money's on Zelda. But that's because it's a major recurring franchise. If Final Fantasy 16 took it, I would not be surprised, because there's also a returning major franchise. I just hate the game and want nothing to do with it. And I freely admit that bias, by the way, before you come for me. It is a bias. I admit it. If it took the category, I would not be upset beyond my dislike for the direction they're taking it. Honestly, if any of these took it, I wouldn't be mad. Not going to lie. I would be a little surprised if Alan Wake 2 took it, but I also wouldn't be upset, you know?
Also, I'm just getting really tired of seeing Alan Wake 2. Because on to the next category, Best Audio Design.
Alan Wake, Wake 2. 2! Dead Space Remake, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Resident Evil 4. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, those last two are, if they take it, it's going to be a massive upset. That's not to denigrate the work that was put into those. I have played the Resident Evil 4 remake. It has solid audio design. But those first three games are built entirely on their audio design. Let's be honest here. Alan Wake 2 is an atmospheric horror adjacent, weird reality title. Dead Space is a survival horror in space. And Hi-Fi Rush is, you know, at its core, a rhythm game. So those three are the kind of games that live or die on their audio design. That said, Spider-Man 2 or Resident Evil 4 take it. I'm not going to be mad. I'm just going to be surprised. Like, this is mostly a category on even footing for the most part. I just tend to lean more towards the first three in the category personally.
All right. Let's get on to one that actually has a little bit more interesting.
Welcome to Best Performance.
That is the best performance by a voice actor in, let's see, we have Final Fantasy 16 with Ben Starr, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, first time we've seen that one on the list, with Cameron Monaghan. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty with Idris Elba. That man could read the fucking phone book and I would listen to it.
Pretty much.
Alan Wake 2 with Melody, or sorry, Melanie Liebert. Then we've got Baldur's Gate 3 with Neil Newborn. Newbon. Wow. I wonder how often he gets that. Because your brain just automatically puts an R there. And then there's some, you know, loser game called Marvel Spider-Man 2 with some guy named, what's that, Yuri Lowenthal?
Meh. Never heard of him. Nobody important. Certainly not an accomplished voice actor who's been doing work for decades. This is a rough category. So right away, right off the bat, I have no comment on Ben Starr or Melanie Liebert. I have not heard either of their performances. I have not played their games. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, I am actively playing through right now.
And cussing at a lot.
Cussing at a lot. Okay, brief aside. Hey, if you give me takeover a supporting character and throw me up against Darth Vader, we know how that's fucking going to end. If he destroys me, as he fucking should, because he's Darth Vader, just let me continue the story. Anyway, fantastic game. Can't recommend it more. Idris Elba's performance in Cyberpunk was, well, it was Idris Elba. He brought a degree of professionalism and depth to his performance that was really fantastic. I mean, Yuri Lowenthal is Spider-Man. We've seen this dance before. He's good at it. Solid voice actor. It could go to anybody in here, but to be perfectly honest, it should be going to Neil Newbon. Now, that man put his whole pussy into that performance.
I think it should be going to Idris Elba.
That said, like, especially not being able to comment on two of the entries here, whoever takes it more than likely deserves to take it home, you know? Actors make the characters come to life. The fact that this category exists is important, like, just generally speaking. And everybody on this list, I think, probably deserves to be here. Again, I cannot speak to Ben Starr or Melanie Liebert. I have not heard their performances, but anyway. Moving on.
So this category we're not going to have a lot to talk about on, which is innovation and accessibility. So the first thing is, neither of us really have much need for accessibility in our video games.
Pretty much.
You know, it's like we don't have any of the common issues that lead to people struggling with video games for reasons. Now, I'm glad this category is here because everybody should be able to enjoy video games.
Yeah, it's important that this category exists. To be sure, we need more accessibility in games in general. The other reason we're not going to have a whole lot to talk about in this category is, unfortunately, it does not tell us what innovation and accessibility each game brought to the table. So it's pretty much going to be brief comments on each game. And
between the two of us, I think we've played one game on this list.
You are correct. I have played nothing on this list.
So, the list is Diablo 4, Forza Motorsport, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Mortal Kombat 1, and Street Fighter 6. The only one that has been played by anyone on this podcast is Diablo 4, which I have played a whopping 15 hours of.
Which sounds like a lot until you remember what a fucking Diablo game is.
When you consider that my time on Path of Exile is about 1,200 hours and my time on Grim Dawn is about 800 hours.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that Diablo 4 does have some good things for accessibility in it that I saw. It does have a baked-in screen reader. So basically anything that is only in text on the screen can be given to you via audio as well. That actually includes the in-game chat. There is text-to-speech for the in-game chat. It also has some things for ease of play with color blindness, and it's also honestly got really straightforward controls, so it's going to be a lot easier to control than some of the classic games are if you're using a non-standard controller. I got nothing on the rest of this list.
Yeah, like I said, I have no idea what innovations they brought to the table, but I kind of hope Street Fighter VI takes it, just because that's the only... Or Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush, I think, actually had some good stuff involving making it easier for somebody with a disability to hit the beat, which is very important for that game. So the fact that you have a way to make your main mechanic more accessible is kind of a good thing.
I might actually be able to play it then.
Because you ain't got no rhythm. Next we have Games for Impact. The category description says, for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. This was also jokingly in this household referred to as the category with nothing in it we've ever played.
This is the game design as art category to a certain extent.
It really kind of is.
That is not to disregard discredit game design in general as being art, but this one takes a lot of these games take a lot more artistic approach to their game design.
Yeah. So there's only three games on this list I've heard of and only seen two of them played. I have played none of them. We've got A Space for the Unbound. Never even heard of that one. Chance of Sinar. Have not heard of that one. Goodbye Volcano High. I've heard the title in passing. No idea what it's about. I don't know how to pronounce that. T-C-H-I-A. Have not heard of it. Terra Nil and Venba. I have heard of those two and seen them played a little bit. I can't speak too much for the games in these categories. I will say what I've seen of Terra Nil and Venba looked really artistic. Venba in particular is a neat little game telling a very personal story through the medium of recipes and cooking, which I thought was really kind of cool. And specifically cultural recipes and cooking from the protagonist's ethnic heritage, which is Indian.
Goodbye Volcano High is a queer furry visual novel.
Yeah, somehow that doesn't surprise me considering the character designs I'm looking at in this fucking screenshot.
Yeah.
Terra Nil is about restoring the environment, and that's about all I got on that one. Great category to have. This isn't the kind of game I would normally play, so I don't have a lot of commentary on it.
Same.
Right now.
But I hope the queer furry visual novel wins.
You would, you fucking furry.
Well, yeah. All right. Best Ongoing.
Awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time.
I'm just going to say there are a bunch of games that really deserve to be in this category that aren't.
And a couple that are that should not be.
So we have Apex Legends, which...
It's an online hero shooter, Battle Royale.
Then we have Fortnite.
A Battle Royale. Genshin Impact, a gacha RPG.
It's, predominantly a mobile game.
And then we've got the only two who I think actually deserve to fucking be here. Cyberpunk 2077, which, for those who have been living under a rock, that launch, that original launch, was rough. Threats of investigation for illegal violation of contracts. Rough. I don't even remember what game it was before Cyberpunk launched that was like, this is the don't be this guy at launch game. Because Cyberpunk 2077's launch was so rough, it completely obliterated all memory of that other game. That's how rough it was. And the fact that they have managed to, after years of dedicated work, get the game as solid as it is now, and it is pretty solid. My computer has some issue with it, but I think that's mostly a hardware issue on my end. This thing is like 2 or 3 years old now.
And it wasn't exactly top of the line when you got it.
Yeah. And the other entry on this list that deserves to be here is Final Fantasy 14, because holy shit. Talk about rough launches as well. Final Fantasy 14 launched so rough, they scrapped it and started over. But they did start over, and they stepped up. And we got A Realm Reborn, and then all the expansions, which continue to build on it, and it's a fantastic title now. It's the only MMO on the market I'm still willing to pay a sub for. Because it is that good and that polished. Now, should either of these games have launched in that state?
No, but shit happens. It's inevitable that it's going to happen occasionally.
Yeah. And the fact that they stepped up and did what they could to make it right. So they do deserve to be here.
Now, I'm going to say something. I think there's two games that I think deserve to be on this list.
Which two?
So I honestly think Grim Dawn deserves to be on this list.
Yes, Grim Dawn has been expanding and growing and improving, and it's great.
And they have added a lot of free up content updates to it.
Yeah.
And the other one's going to sound a little odd, but honestly, Vampire Survivors, for the same reason.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's a pixel art, relatively simple to learn, difficult to master type of game doesn't mean it doesn't belong to be here because of all the fantastic updates.
Is it really any less worthy of being here than Fortnite or Genshin Impact?
Oh, it absolutely deserves to be here more than Fortnite and Genshin Impact. Ugh. I just want to say right now, if you enjoy those games, great, but they don't deserve to be on this list. I will tell you what should be on here. Darktide.
That sounds like a game only losers play.
Excuse me, I need to go declare to Exterminatus on the other room. As far as who wins this category, as long as it's not one of the three who shouldn't be here, I got no dog in this race. Both of these have put in the work to become fantastic titles.
It's probably going to be Fork Knife, though.
Probably, because fucking 12-year-olds. I really hate Fortnite. Can you tell?
All right. Let's get on to a friendlier topic.
Best community support. Recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates patches.
So our list is, hey, look at that. Baldur's Gate 3 is back.
Yep. 800-pound gorilla gonna take it.
Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, and No Man's Sky.
So this is kind of building off of some of the same principles of the last category, in that There's a few games on here that started real rough and they stepped up.
No Man's Sky may have actually been the don't be this guy prior to Cyberpunk. I know it was one of the don't be this guys.
Yeah. Maybe it was Anthem.
That actually sounds right.
I think it might have been Anthem. Yeah.
And I think Anthem died, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. They pulled the plug. That DOA, dead on arrival. So Destiny 2 is okay. I can see it being on this list. I don't think it should take the category, but it's earned its nomination slot, in my opinion. And by the way, before anybody asks, yes, this is all opinion. None of this is objective fact. It's entirely subjective. Cyberpunk, Final Fantasy, and No Man's Sky definitely deserve to be here because much like those other two, No Man's Sky put in the work. Multiple content updates. They have not charged an additional dime for any of it. They have seriously turned it around. Like, just... it is the rough launch success story poster child. That said, it's probably going to be Baldur's Gate 3 because, again, 800-pound gorilla.
Because there are a lot of people who will vote for their favorite game in every category it's in, even if it doesn't necessarily deserve to win in that specific category.
Except Baldur's Gate 3 might deserve to win.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't, but...
Because it's been built upon from early access. It is one of the few games I can state that the early access period was done correctly and capitalized on correctly. They listened to feedback. They made some changes. They updated some stuff as they went, listening to player like so. But that said, it's still going to go to that. We'll see. Best independent game. So this is a bit of a misnomer. Not every title in here is technically an indie, but we're going to just let that slide for the moment.
It should probably be like best small studio or.
Yeah. All right. So we got Cocoon, which I've never fucking heard of. Dave the Diver, which I have heard of, but not played. Dredge, which I have played and loved. Sea of Stars, which I've never heard of. And Viewfinder, which I've seen played and is wild.
One of my friends actually really likes Dave the Diver.
I see Dave the Diver, Dredge, or Viewfinder taking it. Honest opinion, as much as I love Dredge, it should go to Viewfinder. Because the whole premise of that game is just bananas. You take photographs of the environment and move those photographs around that then turn into the 3D environment, altering the pre-existing 3D environment. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is triple A title. We use this mechanic for one level type of stuff. And these guys built a game out of it. That's nuts. That said, honestly, most of those titles, except Dave the Diver, I wouldn't be upset about. Mint Rocket is actually part of Nexon, one of the biggest publishers in the world. That's the only reason I don't think it should be in that category. That is nothing against the game itself. Moving on.
So, next up we have Best Debut Indie Game.
And we have some solid entries here.
We have Dredge again. We have Cocoon again. We also have Venba again. We've got Pizza Tower. But then we also have one that if it doesn't win, it's a crime.
Viewfinder. If Viewfinder does not take this category in particular, I will actually be upset. This is nothing against any of these other games. Pizza Tower is a solid put together game that's got a solid fan base. Dredge is an amazing game. Venba was a treat to watch. I know nothing about Cocoon, but I'm sure it's a solid game that deserves its spot here. But going back to what we said in the previous category, Viewfinder deserves to take this because they built their entire mechanic out of just something that is crazy.
And it works. What I have seen of it, it works beautifully. It's
like there are very few titles, let alone indie debut titles, that let you interact with and manipulate your environment so thoroughly.
Unless it's one of the crafting games that's, you know, oh, hey, you can dig, you can build things.
Yeah, but that is calling that a candle to this thing's lighthouse is still a disservice to Viewfinder.
Yeah.
Like this is the blazing sun. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It. Like if it doesn't take the category, I'm going to be a little peeved. But yeah, these are still all solid entries though. Hey, here's a category we're both super invested in. That was sarcasm, kids. Best mobile game.
Oh, I know. Your favorite on this list is Hello Kitty Adventure Island.
Totally.
Or sorry, Island Adventure.
Yeah, which is literally actually a game on it. We didn't make that up. It is a game on the list. Hello Kitty Island Adventure. We also have Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis. Honkai Star Rail, which is just Genshin Impact in space, near as I can tell. Monster Hunter Now and Terra Nil, which I did not know had a mobile version, which is kind of neat.
The only one either of us have played, I think, is Monster Hunter Now.
Which is a really solid offering from the people behind Pokemon Go, and I think it deserves some recognition for the work they put in on it. However, let's be honest, it is probably going to the fucking money generator or Final Fantasy because that's how this works.
Yeah. Monster Hunter Now is actually, it's a fun little mobile time waster that it helps get you out of the house, get you moving, get you doing more than just sitting on your lazy ass playing a stupid video game.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, it's a location-based mobile game, so it's kind of got a limited market share and, to a certain extent, limited playability.
And, like I said, Honkai Star Rail is basically Genshin in space, so it is a gacha game. That means you're collecting waifus, you're collecting husbandos, you're shelling out money, and you're going to be like, I spent a lot of money on this game. I should justify that by voting for it and saying it's just that good. Instead of, you know, being the gaming addiction generator that these types of games are. Oops, was that my loud voice?
Okay.
I'm not shitting on the game itself. I haven't even played it. I'm just saying gacha games in general exist to make money.
I mean, print
money, really.
Most games exist to make money, but gacha games are kind of worse for it than most.
So we've got Best VR AR up next. This is also going to be a category neither of us are really going to have much to say on because neither of us use VR. I am still personally of the opinion. This is my personal opinion. Opinion. That means you're allowed to disagree with it. That VR is still basically a gimmick. I think you can do amazing things with it, but I still don't think it's worth it yet.
I disagree on that front. I would actually like to get a VR setup, but it's also very expensive and very resource intensive. So you need a much better computer.
Considering your issue with first person shooters, that's going to be interesting.
I've done VR. I've done a decent amount of VR, and I have never had an issue in VR.
Well, anyway, we should get on to the games. because regardless of my opinion on VR as a platform, it is a platform people play games on, so it deserves to be here.
And we let's see. The games are Gran Turismo 7, Horizon, Call of the Mountain, Humanity. I don't know. Humanity sounds terrible. We should just scrap that entire project. Oh, wait. They mean Humanity the game. Never mind. Resident Evil Village VR mode and Synapse.
So, racing game. I don't care. Horizon, Call of the Mountain. Never heard of it. Humanity, I've heard of it, but it just seems like Lemmings with extra steps. Which if that's your jam, cool. I've heard nothing about Synapse, and of course Resident Evil is Resident Evil. And we all know my fondness from Mama D. So that would get my vote. That said, this is one of those categories where I really don't have a dog in the race. If because I have no idea how Village plays in VR mode. So
I don't think you can fondle Mama D in VR mode.
I would hope not. She would just murder you.
Some people will pay extra for that.
Next category, I've got a little bit more of an opinion on.
Best action game. Let's see. We've got Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Remnant 2, and then some garbage little robot game from a company no one's ever heard of. What's this? Armored Core 4-6 Fires of Rubicon? Sounds stupid.
So first of all, you need to learn how to read Roman numerals. Second of all, you are wrong and you should feel bad. Now, obviously this is a bit. Well, it's definitely not Zolgar's cup of tea. I think we can both agree it's a solidly put together game. And it's really not his cup of tea because while it's not a Souls-like at all, it's close enough to not be his jam.
It's one that if I get a chance to pick it up dirt cheap, I'll probably give it a try. Because,
yeah.
See, I'm old. I remember playing the original Armored Core on PlayStation.
And, you know, chicks dig giant robots.
And, I mean, I'll probably be buying some of the models for it when they come out, because one of my addictions is building plastic robots.
My poor wallet. So, I have seen Ghost Runner 2 played. I have played Remnant 2, Dead Island 2, and Armored Core 6. And I have seen Hi-Fi Rush played. These are solid contenders. Of the ones that I would be surprised at taking it would be Dead Island 2. I enjoyed the game immensely. But again, Giants and Titans. I love Remnant 2. They just had their first expansion drop, which includes new classes, a new class, a new story and stuff to do. And it's really cool. My heart goes out to Armored Core, but I won't be surprised if it doesn't take it. Because Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, I mean, the rest of these are solid titles as well.
All right. So, best action adventure. Hey, this looks list looks pretty familiar.
All right. So, we got Alan Wake 2, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4. Hey, Jedi Survivor is back. And, oh, never mind. This category has now just been struck stone dead.
By, what's that? Legend of Zelda? Ugh, sounds stupid.
I have been friends with that franchise longer than I've been friends with you.
Well, your tastes are pretty suspect because you're friends with me.
Kaiju, kill. Why do we keep her around again? She doesn't do nothing. I love Jedi Survivor. Resident Evil 4 remake, really good. I've heard good things about Alan Wake 2 and Spider-Man 2. If it doesn't go to Tears of the Kingdom, I will be genuinely fucking surprised. Again, 800-pound gorilla. I'm not certain how that wouldn't take the category, but who knows? We might be surprised.
All right. So next up, we have another category that is probably going one very specific way.
Best RPG, where once again, they sent my boy out to die.
So we have Final Fantasy 16, Lies of P, Sea of Stars, Starfield, and, well, Baldur's Gate 3.
Gorilla. I'm going to say right now, Starfield should not be on this fucking list. Nothing I have seen from it indicates that it belongs here.
Yeah, I have heard almost nothing good about Starfield.
Everything I have seen from Starfield is meh. And considering how unoptimized it is on PC, whoever decided the minimum system that this thing can run on lives on a different planet from us mere mortals. I'm just saying. Final Fantasy 16, I do not like the game. I do not like the direction they are going with the series. I have said that already in this very episode. But I'm also not going to say that it doesn't deserve to be here. My love for Liza P has also already been stated. I know nothing about Sea of Stars. Absolutely nothing. The art they have for the nominee slot looks cute. Very anime-ish, animated RPG standard fare from the looks of it. We got what looks like a lady in a tunic with a stick and a buff dude in armor with a sword. Like, that's...
But not super buff.
Not super buff, no. But, like, dude doesn't skip gym. But he's also not hulking. Looks like fairly standard RPG fare in that regard. As far as the actual gameplay and game, I couldn't tell you. Like I said, the game boards, I couldn't tell you.
JRPG. Yeah. It's a pixel graphics turn-based JRPG.
Oh, wow. Old school. Damn.
Yeah.
Been a while. Welcome back, turn-based JRPG. We've missed you.
The pixel graphics are actually really good for pixel graphics. You know, they've got nice...
I might poke it after this. It's probably going to Baldur's Gate 3. Let's be honest here. They sent my boy out to die again.
And there's also, in fact, a demo for Sea of Stars if you want to try it without actually, you know...
Yeah, I might
dropping money on it.
Like I said, I might poke it later. Again, Liza P, love the game. Love the game so much. The weird, fucked up version of Pinocchio they tell, the story they tell with it, the weird, like, it just hits what I'm looking for from the zeitgeist, like, perfectly. But Baldur's Gate 3 is the 800-pound gorilla. Here's a category we're going to have slightly less of a care about, again, which is best fighting.
I give zero fucks about this category.
So we've got God of Rock, never fucking heard of it. Mortal Kombat 1.
Never heard of it.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. There was a first? Pocket Bravery and Street Fighter 6. If it doesn't go to Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, I'm going to be very surprised. Street Fighter 6's world mode looks really good. I actually want to get Street Fighter 6 one of these days. Mortal Kombat 1 looks solid. It's just I got off the Mortal Kombat train a long time ago. Some would argue this reboot would be a fantastic way for me to get back on, but I don't know. I'm not going to say the game's bad. I just don't know if it's for me. we're not big on fighting games around here, not because they're bad, just because it's not our jam.
Hey, look at this. This is another title that we're a category we have almost nothing to say about.
Best Family.
I'm pretty partial to The Simpsons, personally.
That's not what they mean. So we have Disney Illusion Island, which is a Disney game I've never fucking heard of.
And has a really fucking terrible looking art for a Disney game.
Party Animals, which I only know exists because it was played on Smosh. Pikmin 4, it's Pikmin. Sonic Superstars, it's Sonic. And Mario Brothers Wonder.
It's Mario.
Like, Sonic has not put out a solid fucking game in a hot minute. Certainly nothing that could contend with a super polished Mario entry. Pikmin 4 looks decent, but it's a kind of a niche thing. I prefer its bigger, meaner, older brother Overlord anyway, a franchise I wish they would resurrect. We don't have much to say about this, honestly. Best Sim Strategy. I have not played any of these games.
We have Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, Cities Skylines 2, Company of Heroes 3, Fire Emblem Engage, and Pikmin 4.
Yeah, Fire Emblem Engage really kind of looks like Fire Emblem really wants to hit that anime era of its development cycle, if you know what I mean. Like, those are the two most anime-looking protagonists I've ever fucking seen. And in the art there, like, Jesus. Not a lot to say here. These are all technically in the same category, but they are very different games.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think pitting them against each other is a little slanted, but we'll see who takes it. I have no dog in this race. Full disclosure, I voted for Cities Skylines 2 because I played the first one and it was fine. But I don't really have an opinion on this category. I just voted to vote.
This is a category we have literally nothing to say about.
Best Sports Racing, EA Sports FC 24, F1 23, Forza Motorsport, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, The Crew Motorfest. I have played none of these. I will play none of these. That said, I kind of hope Hot Wheels takes it.
I might play Hot Wheels if I can get it for like $10.
But yeah, nothing here appeals. I don't know much about any of them. I'm not big on sports games. Yeah, moving on.
Hey, best multiplayer.
Well, there's the 800-pound gorilla back again. Hi, Baldur's Gate 3.
And then we also have Diablo 4, Party Animals, Street Fighter 6, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Baldur's Gate 3. Let's be honest here.
I cannot comment on the multiplayer of Diablo 4 because I never play those games multiplayer.
Pretty much. Yeah, like Mario might take it, but I would be surprised.
The one that I would say would be most likely to take it is Street Fighter. I'll rephrase. Most likely to take it if Baldur's Gate doesn't take it.
Yeah. I don't play a lot of multiplayer stuff, so, you know. So, best adaptation. These are four people that were sent out to die horrifically. Like, they were sacrificed on an altar.
Okay, and so what we mean by best adaptation is the best adaptation of a video game into a movie or series. Or it specifically says to another entertainment medium, but...
Everything
they mean movie or series, because there's no comic books on here, no novels on here, yeah. Nothing but movies and TV shows.
We have Castlevania Nocturne, sent out to die. Gran Turismo, sent out to die. The Super Mario Brothers movie, very sent out to die. Twisted Metal, from everything I've heard, very sent out to die.
No, the Super Mario Brothers movie is not very sent out to die. It is actually the only one on this list that has a chance of standing up to The Last of Us.
Who is absolutely taking this fucking category? And if they don't, this entire awards is a sham.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The Super Mario Brothers movie is entertaining. It's dumb. It's fun. The only real problem I have with it is Chris Pratt, but it's nothing special either.
It's paint by numbers.
Yeah. But it also was very popular, very well received, and had a wider audience than The Last of Us. So I can see it standing up to The Last of Us. That being said, The Last of Us was fucking amazing. And okay, I have not seen Gran Turismo yet. I wanted to, but I missed it in theaters. Once again, that whole stupid COVID thing. It looks like a great movie.
It does not look like trash.
That's because you honestly have very limited taste in movies. You have a very specific niche of what you like, and you don't think anything outside of that niche looks good most of the time.
You are woefully incorrect, but moving on.
Twisted Metal, I still need to watch because I love that franchise. It looks like hot garbage, but I want to watch it.
I have heard nothing good about it, unfortunately. But I want it to be good, to be clear. I want it to be good, but everything I have heard is...
Oh, I know it's not good.
Not good, yeah. So this is the category that's a little weird, because it's about games that aren't out yet. Most anticipated game. So this is about upcoming titles that everybody's going to be, you know, are hyped about. And we do have some contenders here, and we also have a couple that were kind of sent out to die horrifically. Get a little blood on the sand, I guess.
All right, so let's see. We have Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. God damn it, just give us the remake in one solid game, you fucking assholes.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. Hades 2, which the teaser for announcing it looked amazing. And Hades 1 is a solid, amazing game that I still haven't finished because I have completed a run. But that's not the end of the game. It's one of those games, you know. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is a follow-up to Yakuza Like a Dragon. Star Wars Outlaws, and Tekken 8. How did Tekken get on this fucking list? Like, whose dick did they suck? Like, I know it's got its fan base, but, like, come on.
Now, we know that this is going to go to Final Fantasy VII.
Almost assuredly. Maybe. And this is a very, very, very weak maybe. Maybe Hades 2. But it's
I would actually put Star Wars before Hades 2.
Absolutely the fuck not. You are on crack.
It's a Star Wars title.
Nobody has gotten excited about a Star Wars video game in 10 years. Which says something about the quality of most of the Star Wars video games we've been getting. Furthermore, there's the company that's making it.
Most people don't have the same problem with the company that you do.
No, but they do have other problems with it. Namely, the fact that it's all open world, copy paste, go collect crap. It's the same fucking game with a coat of paint. Over and over and over and over.
And yet people keep buying them. Over and over and over and over.
Because people are stupid.
Hence my point of why it might actually stand up to Final Fantasy VII the slightest bit.
It won't.
Watch, that one wins.
I will be very disappointed in all of you.
Okay, here's one I got nothing on.
Content Creator of the Year. I only know one of these people, and that's Iron Mouse. But I will read the category. Iron Mouse, People Make Games, Quackity, Spreen, and Cypher PK. It's worth noting that these are all content creators who make content involving video games or commenting on video games, which I guess technically now officially includes us as of this episode, technically. Which means, of course, they all have dumbass fucking names because...
All content creators have dumbass fucking names. I mean, look at us. We're two idiots and a dog.
Pretty much. Like, Iron Mouse, her whole thing, VTubing, has nothing to do with Iron or Mouse. But she's amusing, and I've seen some clips from her stuff, so she's the only one on here right now. As far as who actually takes the category, no idea. I don't know any of these people. And this is probably going to be the last category we comment on at all. Everything after this is like esports teams, esports coaches, esports events. That's nothing we care about. And we're only going to comment on this one because it actually includes games, because this is best esports game.
We have Counter-Strike 2, Dota 2, League of Legends, PUBG Mobile, and Valorant. Fuck all of those.
Yeah, Dota has its fan base. PUBG has its fan base. They're out. I'm sorry. Counter-Strike 2 has had some issues. I'm not sure if it's going to... how that relates to the esports side of things, but I know that the game had some issues that had some people disappointed in it. It's probably going to be League of Legends or Valorant. I mean, okay, both are solid games with definite shine and polish.
League of Legends should be disqualified because of the community surrounding it.
Yeah. I mean, Valorant isn't much better. It's mostly the same people. Yeah, so that's kind of it. Those are all the categories.
Yeah, because the next category we've got is best esports athlete.
Yeah, because esports athlete, esports team, esports coach, and esports event, and we have no opinion on any of those. I did vote in those categories, but it was kind of just a vibe check vote. I know none of those fucking people. So like, as far as some of these categories go, it's interesting just the categories themselves to see what is and isn't kind of being called out as a category or included. I did want to, before we wrap this up, comment on an absolutely ice cold take I saw on YouTube. Like, I clicked on it, heard what they were saying, and immediately clicked out of the video. Don't even remember who it was, and I'm not here to start beef with them or anything. I just think this is the coldest fucking take I've ever heard. And if they're saying it, it means other people are saying it, so I want to kind of address it. And that is, we shouldn't be doing genre categories anymore.
You know, I can actually understand the point of that. And the reason I say that is because genres are so hard to define. I mean, you look at the sim strategy genre category.
Yeah.
All of those games are vastly different.
Okay. But it is still the best categorization we've got beyond the, you know, like direction, narrative, art direction, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But when it comes to classifying the games themselves, it is still the best system we have.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying I agree with them. I just understand where they're coming from, because genres are such a weird mishmash that, how do you define a genre? It's like, especially because so many of these games, they have so many different aspects to them. I mean, okay, they were not on the list this year, but the Borderlands franchise. Those are RPG first-person shooters with a certain aspect of adventure to them. It.
Yeah. I get it, but at the same time, no. Because it's going to just be anarchy after that. It's just anarchy. Like, we might as well just pull the games in a big pile on the floor in the middle of the room and vote on them all in one category at that point. Like, which is absolutely a discredit to these games. Because you're going to have that one big title. I mean, it's bad enough that Baldur's Gate is probably sweeping. And bear in mind, when I say bad enough, I don't mean they don't deserve to win. If they win, they earn that shit. Baldur's Gate 3 is a solid fucking game. But the fact that it's so solid means that it is knocking some serious other games out cold. Liza P, amazing game. I love it to pieces. It's well put together, well polished, especially for a first outing from a studio. It's their first game. Stone Cold Dead. It was DOA at these awards because it's going up against so many established contenders. You start pulling them out of the categories, and that's going to get even more free-for-all. You're going to have one or two titles that dominate everything because these categories – like the point of categories is to give other things a chance, right?
Honestly, you want to see a category I think we should have? Best original game. Best game that is not a sequel, not a remake, not a remaster. It is a game that is...
Take that further. I'm going to take that further. Two categories. Best original game, best new IP. Because gameplay and story are two different things, and both should be recognized, especially in this industry.
Oh, and especially because best new game, it could go to something that's like a game based off of a existing franchise, but not a game franchise. You know, it could be fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but that's just it was a take that I disagreed with so sharply I wanted to just touch on it before we close out here. The biggest takeaway for me though from this year's Video Game Awards so far is that with these having run for several years now, the amount of hype and investment. And when I say investment, I don't necessarily mean money, but I mean like people giving a shit. This is an industry that has absolutely taken off. It has found its legs. It's right up there with television and movies now, as far as I'm concerned. And it's nice to see something that tries to give some recognition, even if most of the program itself is actually just advertising other games. But hey, that's just media anymore, and we should know. It's kind of our shtick.
Hey, by the way, you can support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. We We need to get a sponsor.
Here for a minute.
We need to get a knife company to sponsor us.
So I can stab you with new and interesting knives.
Could you come here for a moment so I can stab you with my Cutco knife?
Funnily enough, that is the knife I own. I used to work for them. Not a sponsor, but you could be. Call us. Speaking of sponsors, none of this was sponsored. If any of you video game studios or publishers for some reason stumble across this episode and are like, these morons are kind of entertaining, call us. We're in trouble.
And we're cheap.
Let us whore ourselves to you. So much for ending on a philosophical commentary about video games as art. I guess that's it for this week.
If you like what you do, well,
if you like what you do.
If you like what we do, what the fuck is wrong with you? But, you know, please give us a like, follow, rating, and all of that nonsense on your favorite podcatcher.
You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi, though I have no idea why you would.
You can find the... Oh, fuck me.
You can find those at our social media platforms and Discord server in the show notes.
Fuck it. I don't have a promo for this week.
We don't have any friends anyway. Last but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
Random Warrior, Rain, and the Perpetually Banned Athen Mortis.
You know what you did.
And we would like to give them a special thank you for sticking with us despite the hiatus that kind of came up suddenly.
Yes. We couldn't do this without you. Well, we probably could. It just wouldn't be as much fun. Ugh.